I'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Pima Federal Credit Union. Pima Federal Credit Union is always looking for ways to save their members time and money, which is why they offer completely free checking with convenient options for banking on the go. Manage your accounts online, access over 55,000 fee-free ATMs nationwide, and easily deposit checks from your phone with their mobile app. Visit www.pimafederal.org to learn about the many ways their members save. Pima Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. We are heading into the weekend and the Arizona Wildcats are facing the UCLA Bruins in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. I'm Justin Spears, joined alongside here Michael Lev and Ryan Finley. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and download the Wildcaster app available on the App Store and Google Play. How's it going, guys? You guys ready for this weekend?
Oh, who isn't ready for this weekend? Michael J. Lev?
Justin, have you ever been to the Rose Bowl before?
Once. And I was actually impressed with how updated it was compared to the Coliseum. I feel like it's more up to date in terms of like the concourse and the bathrooms and stuff like that compared to the Coliseum.
Yeah, they've done some work over there, and B, you know, they have to host some pretty premier games, so they kind of had to.
Yeah.
I think the next time we go to the Coliseum, I don't know if their construction project's going to be done, but they've been working on new press box, new suites, et cetera, you know, during this calendar year, this season. So I think it's going to be dramatically different the next time.
Piece of advice. Try to find a men's room or a bathroom out there by the golf course. It is like 110 years old, those bathrooms. Just letting you know.
So I should go.
It's really cool. I have unpopular Rose Bowl takes. Can we get into unpopular Rose Bowl takes?
Sure. Let's start off with that.
Okay. Have you ever been to the Rose Bowl for a Rose Bowl?
No. Yes, I have.
Okay, you must have covered SC in a couple of them, right?
USC against Penn State.
Okay.
There was the first ever national semifinal game.
Okay.
Florida State, Oregon State. That was Winston and Mariota.
Okay.
Also Alabama against Texas.
Oh yeah, that's a good
national
one.
Championship okay. game. So yeah, I've seen some legit big games there.
I've been to one Rose Bowl as a fan, one Rose Bowl game, and that was the Matt Leinart versus Michigan Rose Bowl in whenever that was, like 04, 05. Matt Leinart conducts the band holding the sword, you know, that famous photo.
Sure.
It was that game. And I went with some friends of mine who were Michigan fans. And I found the entire thing to be, I'm wincing here as I say this, not worth the hassle. Getting in, getting out, it's New Year's Day. We woke up at something like 3 in the morning.
Man.
Traffic getting in was terrible. Traffic getting out was terrible. Trying to find the aforementioned 100-year-old bathroom and using it, there was a long line. I made a vow that day, just as a person holding a ticket, that I wouldn't go back until a certain red and blue team made the Rose Bowl, simply because I think you have to be very much invested in the game to put up with all the crap that comes with getting into and out of the Rose Bowl.
Somebody said, like, what's it like going to the Rose Bowl? And you said, iconic.
So scenic, iconic, pain in the ass to get there.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Once you're there, it's great. Once you're there, it's great. Getting into it and out of it is terrible.
So my wife and I and some others went to see U2.
Mm-hmm.
At the Rose Bowl several years ago, right. And it was such an ordeal that we vowed we'd never do it again. But then we did it again. We flew from – I was covering a U of A baseball game on Saturday night. I flew out Sunday morning. I met my wife and her dad, and we had a whole plan how we're going to do it. We're staying in Pasadena. We're going to take the train. We're going to take the shuttle bus. Getting in was not a problem. Mm-hmm. Getting home, getting back to our hotel, mm-hmm. the longest – most endless line to get on these shuttle buses that you have ever seen in your life. It was one of these things where you thought, oh yeah, we're pretty close to the end. And then you come around the corner and you'd see 50,000 more people in front of
That's
you.
That's crazy.
I mean, we were waiting in line for like 2 hours. If there hadn't been one of those, you know, those hot dog vendors, those carts that always smell so good. Mm-hmm. There hadn't been those people. I don't know what we would have done.
You would have
could have
eaten,
been rioting.
You would have eaten your father-in-law.
Yeah, we would have eaten each other. It would have been bad.
Justin, the good news for you is you get to go this time with Michael Leth, who has a media parking pass, and will be getting there long before anybody else cares to get there, probably.
Which I like.
So that's
I like that.
The best part about being a media guy, and I've covered a dozen games at the Rose Bowl over the years. That's the best part about being a media guy, is for the most part, you avoid the traffic because you get there early and leave late.
Yeah.
Beautiful place to see a game, obviously, but man, man, what a hassle.
Avoid the traffic in LA. Mm-hmm. Easier said than done. Mm. How about Arizona's history at that building?
It's not good.
Not good at all.
Not good at all. Trying to call this up here.
It's where Matt Scott died. It's where Anu Solomon, I think, died. I mean, there were...
Against UCLA, that's where Anu Solomon... Yeah. That was the college game day game. Yep. Where
that's right. It was here against...
Yes.
Right,
yeah. When was the last time Arizona won against UCLA? Was it 2000?
Well, last year. They beat them.
At the Rose Bowl.
Let's see. Well, they lost 45-24 in 2016. In 2014, it was actually a close game. It was 17-7. Mm-hmm. In 2012, 66-10.
Yep.
So you have to go back to 2010, a 29-21 Arizona victory. The Wildcats were ranked at that time.
Nick Foles.
15th in the country. Anyone remember anything about this game?
Yes. They broke out red pants, I believe.
Matt Scott, I think.
Was that a day game?
I believe that was an afternoon game.
Matt Scott was the quarterback of that day. He threw for 319 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, Foles was hurt. Scott came in. I think Scott got rattled a little bit, maybe concussed earlier or hit badly earlier in that game, came back. And I seem to remember that being the day where they broke out red pants for the first time. Red pants, white helmets?
Yeah. The only play I remember from that game was a fake punt with Taimi Totogi, right?
Yes, Taimi Totogi.
Took the direct snap and ran for a first down, which extended the drive.
Yeah, they dominated the Bruins that day. Mm-hmm. They had 583 yards to 299. Big day for Jerron Kreiner.
Yep.
Big day for Keola Antolin. Big day for Alex and Dejas. And the coach for the Bruins that day?
Carl Durrell?
Is that Carl Durrell? No. Ryan, I'm trying to do a segue here.
Rick Neuheisel.
Rick Neuheisel was the coach of UCLA that day, right? So why is Rick Neuheisel relevant to this upcoming game here? Ryan,
I know.
Raising your hand.
I know.
Because
his son, Jerry, started at quarterback for UCLA after Rick had been fired. And on Saturday, Arizona will start a quarterback, Rhett Rodriguez, whose father, Rich, was also fired as Arizona's coach.
How about that? Not only how tangled is this web, Jerry Neuheisel played for Noel Mazzoni after Rick Neuheisel left, right?
Connection.
And then Noel and Kevin Sumlin brought Jerry Neuheisel aboard as a graduate assistant at Texas A&M. And now Jerry Neuheisel, after Chip Kelly went to visit and was impressed by him, got hired at UCLA as a graduate assistant. So he'll be coaching in this game as the son of, you know, a coach who was fired and then played quarterback for that school against, you know, sort of a very similar thing happening for Arizona. You think it's like something that's never happened before, but weirdly enough, it has happened a handful of times.
And one of those times, too, we were talking about this off air, Kevin Kraft started at UCLA for Rick Neuheisel. He had transferred to there from San Diego State, where he spent a full season as the starter after his father was fired as their head coach. Mm. Anyway, the Jerry Neuheisel, Rhett Rodriguez comps, though. Let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I look at Rhett and I see Jerry, neither of which were particularly tall, strong-armed kids, but both of them were obviously coaches' sons and kind of all the stereotypes that go along with that. Both of them were savvy. Neither of them made very many mistakes. To me, you know, Jerry Neuheisel, I'm not sure was ever going to win a game all by himself as UCLA starting quarterback, but he didn't lose a whole lot by himself. You know, he didn't make a lot of mistakes. And if we're looking for a template for Rhett Rodriguez in this game Saturday night, I think it's to basically, to mix sports metaphors here, be a point guard.
You always mix metaphors.
I love it, and I apologize for it every time, but I'm not sorry. Be a point guard. Get the ball in the hands of his teammates. One of the things that I think has kind of gone sideways this season is so much focus has been on Khalil Tate and his struggles. Khalil Tate just doesn't do a good job of getting the ball in the hands of other skill position players. And I think that Rhett Rodriguez's job can be short, quick passes to fast, strong kids and see if maybe Arizona can move the ball.
So you're expecting a lot of screens, a lot of dumps?
I don't think Rhett Rod's launching a ball 60 yards in the air because I don't think he can.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of what you saw against Utah. Like, he's going to run the offense, period. Right. He's going to distribute the ball. What if I told you that Rhett is like the least of my concerns for Arizona heading into this game? Like, I think he's going to be fine as far as what he can do. Okay. I'm more worried about their ability to block, their ability to run the ball, their ability to stop a UCLA offense that suddenly is clicking, which is kind of exactly what I thought was going to happen under Chip Kelly. Eventually, they're going to figure it out and get going. With this Laith Freck injury has been a huge problem. He just hasn't been the same since that Oregon State game, right? If you can't protect Rhett Rodriguez and you can't run the ball, he's going to be in trouble. Any quarterback would be, and he doesn't have the crazy escapability to get out of those kind of jams either.
My biggest question for you guys, though, is going back to being a point guard, get the ball in the hands of your best players. Mm-hmm. When you compare it to Jerry Neuheisel, because is that what he did?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
However, UCLA has always had players like that, good recruits, outside of maybe J.J. Taylor and Sean Brown. I mean, really, who are you going to put the ball?
I like Sean Poindexter. I really have been impressed with him kind of all year. It's so funny. When we talked the other day about, is this a chance where Arizona's now just going to try guys out the second half of the season, right?
Yeah.
See what you got. You feel bad for a guy like Poindexter who, worked really, really hard to be a starting wide receiver at the Division I level and has done an awful lot of standing around and watching as his quarterback gets sacked this year. Maybe that's the dynamic that we see. Maybe we see Rhett Rod throwing to Bryce Wolma, his best friend.
Roommate.
Maybe we see Rhett Rod trying to get the ball in the hands of a senior like a Sean Poindexter. I think that in a way, Rhett Rod's physical skills or lack thereof will allow Sumlin and Noel Mazzoni to approach this game a little bit differently. When you don't have the option of a 60-yard touchdown strike like you always do when Khalil Tate's your quarterback, maybe you're going to have to get creative in other ways.
More volume. There's going to be plenty of passes to go around for Sean Poindexter, Sean Brown, Tony Ellison, the younger receivers who started to show some stuff last week. I was pretty impressed with Devon Cooper.
Yeah.
Running after the catch. I think if he's able to stay healthy and is in a good mental frame of mind, that he's going to be a really good player here. I like the point guard analogy a lot. Let's extend it to who, if you were to say that Khalil Tate was a certain point guard in the NBA, like which one would you say would have been him? And I have one in mind.
Russell?
Yeah, I was going to say Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, right? Like just incredibly athletic, capable of doing amazing things on the field or on the court. Sometimes you just wonder if he's got like the team
enigmatic
team concept in mind.
I like that comparison.
Enigmatic, that's a good word. Yeah.
Whereas Rhett Rodriguez is
TJ McConnell. That's I thought this was all a setup where we can now compare Rhett Rodriguez to TJ McConnell.
It all comes back to TJ McConnell. But, I mean, always.
But no, and maybe it's the jersey number. What number did McConnell wear at Arizona?
4.
What number does Rhett Rod wear?
4.
There we go. TJ McConnell is a guy who now in the NBA, is not going to win you over with his athleticism, and he doesn't try to, right? I mean, Rhett Rodriguez, and you hate to ascribe all of these coaches' sons stereotypes to Rhett Rodriguez, but my God, they're true. He's the smartest guy on the field. I'm convinced that from the time this season started, Rhett Rodriguez probably knew the offense better than anybody else in the quarterback room, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're generously listed at, what's he generously listed at? 6 feet?
I think he's listed at 6 feet. Yeah.
6 feet. What do you think he is in person? 5'11"?
Yeah, probably 5'11".
Okay, when you're 5'11", 185, and you had basically no other major Division I offers, and
he's listed at 6 feet 201. Okay. I just looked up Jerry Neuheisel. He was listed at 6'1", 200. So
Look at me.
So yeah,
very similar.
I like my comp there. you know, I think that when you're that, I mean, you have to do the little things, right? Yeah. And I mean, last week you had the greatest tweet I've read all year about this team, where how many, what you counted like three or four drops from guys who were surprised that Rhett Rodriguez had actually thrown a back.
It wasn't drops. It was penalties. penalties. Yeah.
It didn't.
Repeat that fact for the folks.
Right.
Who didn't
follow. There were three instances where receivers drew penalties because Rhett threw the ball on time. Most of them were back shoulder type throws, so that the receiver's coming back for the ball, and then the defensive back grabs them.
Right.
That. Those timing plays weren't happening with Khalil. I don't want to turn this into like a Khalil bashing segment because he was incredible last season.
Absolutely.
He's been injured this season. Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen what he can do when he's healthy. It's just a completely different type of player,
yes.
Right? I mean, we're talking about the supreme athlete, right, who's kind of trying to figure things out with a new system on the one side, and then the overachieving, super smart coach's son,
right,
on the other side. So you're just going to get it. You're going to get a different looking product as a result.
Yeah.
And I think that it is to Kevin Sumlin's eternal benefit that Rhett Rodriguez is going to get his teammates involved, because I think this is the time of year where you really risk losing the team. And I think that one way to avoid losing the team, and one way to maybe keep everybody pulling in the right direction, heading into what I think is a pretty crucial 3 or 4 game stretch here, is to get more people involved. And that's what this offense will be. This offense will not be Khalil Tate, hand him the Heisman Sports Illustrated cover, you know, Khalil Tate and the 10 Dwarves. This is going to be Rhett Rodriguez and 10 of his buddies, mm-hmm. you know, trying to move the ball. And I think that that's a different feel. I think that if you're a teammate, and maybe somebody like a Sean Poindexter, I keep going back to this fact, if you're a Sean Poindexter who hasn't really seemed to catch on with him all year, you know, maybe you appreciate a quarterback change and a guy who's going to throw you the football instead of scrambling around or getting hit.
So given that the two quarterbacks that we just talked about, Khalil and Rhett, are so different, why would Kevin Sumlin announce that Rhett is going to be the starter? Why wouldn't you give UCLA some, you know, why wouldn't you force UCLA to prepare for either guy all week long rather than, you know, just show your hand?
You think he's got some up his sleeve, maybe still putting in Jamari Joyner?
Well, yeah. No, I think those guys are going to play. He said that those guys, yeah, they're probably going to continue to integrate the freshman quarterbacks. I mean, I'm just wondering if he just wanted to, he figured it was going to get out anyway, or he didn't want guys to, you know, players or their parents or his coaches to be bothered throughout the week with people like DMing them, you know, people like reporters like me trying to figure out what's
hey,
going
starting?
On, you know?
Who's starting this
yeah,
week?
Yeah, right. I mean, that can be a distraction. And maybe you just sort of shift the energy a little bit in the locker room by doing that. Like, hey, guys, Rhett's going to be our guy. We're going to put it out there. Yeah, let's rally around him. I mean, that's my theory. I don't know what you guys think.
I think that's part of it. I also think that maybe some of it has to do with Tate himself. You know, he's from Los Angeles. He's heading back home for what may be the final time as an Arizona Wildcat. We don't know. I think it's entirely possible that getting it out there earlier in the week takes some of the pressure off Tate to tell his family and friends who are going. It might make it a little bit less of an event. You know, imagine if you were Khalil Tate and Kevin Sumlin tells you, you know, with the punishment of, you know, the worst punishment you could have here, say you're not playing, but you can't tell anybody, right? How many Tates are in the stands Saturday?
Right. Probably a lot.
How much,
right?
How much money is being spent? How many?
The entire city of Gardena.
Right. Right. Exactly. How many Gardenans? Are they Gardenans? Gardenans? How many Gardenans are there? Rooting for Khalil Tate. I think that here you pull the Band-Aid off, right? You pull the Band-Aid off. You say, this is what we're doing. You give everybody sort of 3 or 4 days to get used to the idea. I think that you then come off, if you're Kevin Sumlin, as a straight shooter, which is good because I don't think he has been a straight shooter through the first 6 weeks of the season, 7 weeks of the season. You know, I think that now he looks decisive. He looks like he's treating Khalil Tate like an adult. And again, you're right. He shifts the energy and shifts the expectations.
It's so easy to say now that this is what he should have done weeks ago. But do you guys think he should have done this weeks ago?
Yes.
Should he have sat him down just because that ankle was not going to get any better?
He should have sat him after the BYU game or even after the Houston game. let
at halftime of the Houston game, and then say you're going to sit out next week as well. We can't, you know.
Rhett Rodriguez would have beaten Southern Utah and Oregon State.
Yeah, I agree.
You could have beaten Southern Utah and Oregon State if you were putting it as Arizona.
I wouldn't go that far, but sure.
Well, and how about this? Let's talk about Brandon Dawkins. Just real quick, real quick, real quick.
It all
quick.
Goes back to.
Hold on, but let's talk about Brandon Dawkins. I mean, they're playing Los Angeles. He's an LA guy, right? Brandon Dawkins left the team last offseason. In theory here, this is all theoretical. Had Brandon Dawkins been on the roster, would Brandon Dawkins have been their quarterback the second drive of the Houston game? I still think one of the reasons why Kevin Sumlin was so hesitant to pull Khalil Tate is because his replacements were Rhett Rodriguez, Kahari Lane, Kevin Doyle, none of whom had ever taken a meaningful snap in a college football game. I wonder, had Brandon Dawkins stayed at Arizona to get a master's in journalism, like all smart people do, that had he stayed here, would he have been their starting quarterback in week two? And would they be 5-2, 4-3 instead of what they are?
I don't know about that. I mean, that it would have been really hard for him to stay because there was basically no chance for him to be the starting quarterback here based on what happened last year with Khalil, right?
Barring an injury, which occurred in week two.
Right. It, you know, also, maybe he just felt like, you know, it's time for a new chapter. It's time to do something different. It's time to experience a different part of the world.
In
fairness, nobody ever says I want to go to Bloomington, Indiana. But I'll give you your point. Okay.
So I mean, sure, of course that might have happened. It might have evolved that way. It would have been a little bit more competition for Khalil. We've talked about before how the fact that there really wasn't any legit competition hurt him, probably.
Right.
It's tricky. Like, I like the idea of naming your starting quarterback and having that guy lead the offseason workout program, etc. But it also helps to have someone pushing him a little bit, you know? I mean, all due respect to Rhett, like I said, I think he's going to do well. I think he's proved already that he's capable of being a competent college quarterback, but there was no way anyone was going to unseat.
Was Khalil worried about Rhett Rodriguez?
Yeah, no, right. No. Exactly. No. He wasn't. No. And you couldn't even sort of pose that threat to him and have him take it seriously. And I think whether, you know, it's intentional or happens subconsciously, maybe you lose a little bit of that competitive fire if someone isn't pushing you for playing time. Well, right? Like, part of his narrative last year was he had to earn, he had to wait and wait and wait and work, and he had to earn the playing time, right? He had to overcome these, you know, stories about how maybe he wasn't the greatest practice player or whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you get into this situation where you're incredibly successful. And then everyone thinks you're going to win the Heisman, and Sports Illustrated puts you on the cover, and you're just not in the same frame of mind.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. And Brandon Dawkins, look, I mean, this ignores, you know, what Brandon Dawkins said when he left Indiana, right? That sort of he needed to step away. He'd been going through some things. And obviously, Brandon Dawkins probably wasn't going to be happy staying here as Khalil Tate's backup. But I still think that kind of in a parallel universe, if you have a fifth-year senior, because he redshirted, right? Right?
Ooh. Yes.
Dawkins, yes. If you had a fifth-year senior as your backup quarterback, and if in week two on the first drive, Khalil Tate grabs his ankle and comes out, maybe you are more confident as the head coach putting in the senior. Mm. And maybe Khalil Tate's rest and recovery portion of the season begins in week two instead of beginning in week eight. You know? I think that changes the season a little bit, and I think that it underscores what got Rich Rodriguez fired, which was lack of recruiting. I think that depth, a team like Arizona will never have USC-level depth, but you got to have a little bit of it. And, yeah. I mean, heading into this season, we all kind of went, well, if Khalil Tate gets hurt, they're dead. And he got hurt, and they're 3-4.
And he's not the only one. I went through this list earlier in the week of the guys who've been out, right? Mm-hmm. Kylan Wilborn did not play against Utah. Lathe Freck came out in the second quarter. Derek Bowles came out in the second quarter. Jace Whitaker did not play and has played one series the entire season. Nathan Eldridge has been out the entire season. That's half of my preseason top 10 MVPs of the team, right? And then you add Khalil Tate, so that's six out of the top 11 players on the team.
Because wasn't that list MVPs that are not named
right,
Khalil
other than
Tate?
Right. So five of the 10 plus Khalil. So six out of the top 11 players, basically, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be hard for any team, but when you have had some issues in terms of recruiting, especially along the lines. And if you look at where these guys are playing, that's two offensive linemen. That's two defensive linemen. If you classify Wilborn as a defensive end, which he basically is, that's tough, right? That's why they're going after all these junior college guys, right? They need to restock the cupboard ASAP, or things are like the program is going to go into a downward spiral, and it's really hard to recover when that happens.
Because they're not 18-year-olds. They're all 20-year-olds that are you could just install them, right?
It's no guarantee, right? Yeah. Like Sione Taufahema has yet to play a down for Arizona. He was
really?
Junior college. No, he has not played. He's been injured the entire time. Huh. Stephen Bailey was brought in as a junior college guy, and he's unable to crack the lineup. So it's no guarantee, but they're going after, I think, higher profile junior college guys with the idea that they're going to come in and play and or compete and along the lines next year, which is really the biggest problem that this team has had for a while.
And this is an act of desperation. I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, when you publicly announce that you're open for business and you're offering scholarships to junior college linemen, that is an oh crap moment.
But what,
as a coach,
it's
because you have decided not only, I mean, do you not have anybody now that can line up? Developing the young guys isn't going to get you very far. I mean, he has decided that they need basically to reshuffle the deck here. You know, Mike Stoops did that when he was at Arizona, right? He went in and he brought in Mike Diaz. Remember him? He's like 6'9". He wore like a size 8 1/4 head or a hat.
Man, that's a big guy.
Phil Garcia, Mike Diaz and Phil Garcia. Arizona was dead in the water on the offensive line. And Mike Stoops went, we just need dudes. We need big bodies. And they went and they got them. And that patched it over for a couple of years until they could bring in some new players and develop them. Mm. I mean, my ears perked up when I heard someone talk openly about, hey, we need to go get basically JUCO guys on both lines because we need help now.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. He did not do that at Texas A&M. Okay.
No.
UCLA, Chip Kelly's not going to say that. This is a guy who I think has looked around and realized that there are very few impact players on his roster. And the biggest impact player has an ankle injury and may not play again this season.
Mm. I think this is a case where they need to win right away. And the only way you can do that, like you said, you look around at the roster and you realize we got a bunch of young players right now that are all late teenagers. They'll be effective maybe 2-3 years down the line, but what are we going to do for next season? And that's why for this year specifically, they're going after junior college guys, specifically on the O-line and defensive line.
Yeah, two things. Justin is absolutely right. If you look at this roster, it's still a young roster, right? Mm-hmm. They've got plenty of underclassmen, okay? That's right. Number one. Number two, the class next year is going to be bigger than people initially thought. There have been transfers. There's guys who are going to leave. I think it's going to be more than 20, right? I think it's going to be more in the 22 to 23 range. I don't think people thought for a time that this upcoming class was going to be like 16 to 18. My calculations, it's going to be over 20. Let's say you have 8 junior college guys and 14 freshmen.
Right.
Are we okay with that? I mean, as a fan, as a supporter of the team, would you rather have them try to win next year or would you rather have them say, you know what? This is going to take a while. Sorry, everybody. You're just going to have to be patient. We're going to be terrible for 2 years, but we'll be awesome in 2021.
I know what the right way to do it is, which is what you just said. My question
really
is,
it's really hard these days to do that.
Did you bring in Kevin Sumlin for a full scale rebuild? The answer is
I don't think so.
This is not the job he accepted.
No.
And if he's cool with it, if he's decided that he wants to rebuild, and if his career winning percentage is going to take an absolute kick in the pants over it, if he's cool with it, that's great. To me, you look at, and it's early to say, but you know, Kevin Sumlin will get 2 years minimum here, right? There's not going to be a coaching change at the end of the season. He's going to get 2 years. The way his contract is structured, whatever buyout would be instituted by, whatever buyout Arizona would have to pay him goes down significantly after the first 2 years anyway, right? He needs to show signs of improvement by the end of next season. So how do you best do that, right? That's the question. I don't think he can go, say, 4-8 this year and 2-10 or 3-9 next year and reasonably expect to be back in 2020.
Do you know how many losing seasons he's had in his head coaching career?
One. Last year?
2010.
Oh, 2010.
Yeah.
That's right. They're 500 last year.
He never lost more than 5 games at A&M. His worst record there is technically was 7-5. You know, the problem was they went 11-2 the first year, and then it was 9-4, 8-5, 8-5, 8-5, and then 7-5. He did not coach in the bowl game. But yeah, his third year at Houston, they were 5-7, and I think that was the year that Keenum got hurt, and they had to play a true freshman quarterback, etc.
Hold on, bringing it all back home. Case Keenum got hurt doing what? Do you remember?
Playing against UCLA. Right?
At the Rose Bowl at night.
Right. Wow.
That's right.
Yep. He got hurt, missed the rest of the year, came back. He was 29 years old or something as a senior, broke all of those records, got Kevin Sumlin basically the Texas A&M job.
Yeah, they lost. Yeah, they lost two quarterbacks, I think, in that game.
Yep.
And then had to go in a totally different direction.
There's no history of reporters getting hurt at the Rose Bowl, is there?
I'm okay.
For us?
I've been okay.
Okay.
I've been okay.
Okay.
I've been
okay. We're good.
We'll be all right, Justin.
Okay. Real quick, guys, before we go, Arizona-UCLA, late kickoff on Saturday night. Break down the game. What do you got, Michael?
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, fun game. I think something along the lines of UCLA 38, Arizona 34.
Red Rodriguez putting up 34 points, huh?
Oh, I definitely think you can move the ball against the Bruins. They have a really good secondary. They have some good players in their front seven, especially Keeson Lucier South, who's an Orange County kid who had a monster game against Cal last week. But this is not like a juggernaut of a UCLA defense. So I think they're going to be able to move the ball, but I think they're going to have trouble stopping a UCLA offense that's really sort of found it. I mean, they're running the ball well now. Dorian Thompson-Robinson isn't throwing a lot of passes, but super efficient because the running game is working. You knew this was going to happen, right, with Chip Kelly, that he was going to figure things out offensively. So that's the type of game that I see.
Right. I'm not as worried about Arizona stopping them defensively, if only because this is an offense they're very used to, right? I mean, this is what Rich Rodriguez ran, basically, during his time at Arizona. So I don't think that UCLA is going to be as tough a scout, let's say, as it would be for somebody other than Arizona. That said, I mean, who's Arizona stopping? You know, I mean, they got lit up by a fairly traditional blah Utah team last week, right? I think that as much as I think Arizona might win this game, and as much as I think their season may hinge on it, winning on the road is hard. Winning on the road against a UCLA team that seems to have figured it out, like Michael said, is even harder. I see UCLA winning this game. About 48-33.
It's really high scoring.
It's very high scoring.
Real quick, I know Justin wants to give his pick here, but the one thing I will say is that the defense, the guys were using words like we were embarrassed last week against Utah. So I do think that there's a pride factor that will kick in and that they'll play better, but I've got concerns about the injuries again. Mm-hmm. Like, are we ever going to see Jace Whitaker out there? And if we don't, I mean, that's a huge problem. Who's going to cover Caleb Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, the 6'7" tight end who's going to play in the NFL next year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Do they have anyone who's really capable of doing that? I don't know. I have concerns.
Yeah. Man, I really want to pull for the Tucson guy. As much as I've given Rhett Rodriguez grief over the years, because I always said that he doesn't belong on Arizona's roster. They should have used that scholarship, give it to a lineman. Or
he should have been a walk-on on Arizona's roster since his dad, who is an employee, got a discount on tuition. Go ahead. Yes.
But, you know, after seeing that game again, it wasn't a spark. But, I mean, he kind of flashed what he can do with his Arizona offense. Why not? I'll be different.
Do it.
I'll be different. I got Arizona 24, UCLA 21.
Here's the thing, and you bring up a good point. I kind of want this game for Rhett Rod.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine seeing your father's personal misdeeds in the paper or on TV or online. I can't imagine what that must have been like for an 18-year-old kid. It would have been really easy for him to be like, nope, NAU, I'll be in Flagstaff if you need me. Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad. Bye, Tucson. Right? Just leave. For him to stay, and not only stay, but say all the right things, work hard and do all the right things and impress a whole new coaching staff. I think that speaks to him. I think that speaks to the way he was raised. And my goodness, if he could lead Arizona to an upset here, it'd be one of the most unlikely, most satisfying stories of the college football season anywhere, I think.
People who aren't in the business ask me all the time, like, oh, do you root for the team? And I said, no, you don't root for the team. I would say, you know, I like to see the kids do well. You know, you develop relationships with them. You never want to see anyone do poorly, but you do root for the story, right? And Rhett Rodriguez leading Arizona to a victory in this game Saturday night would be the best story that we could possibly have. So, of course, I would love to see that happen. That's what my heart is saying. My brain is just telling me something else.
Yep.
It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one this Saturday at the Rose Bowl. The Arizona Wildcats, they play the UCLA Bruins at 7:30. You can catch that game on ESPN2. Make sure for all of your Arizona Wildcats coverage this weekend, you follow Michael J. Lev. Is that at Michael J. Lev, right, on Twitter?
Correct.
Or you can follow the Wildcaster for all of your live updates. So that would do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Don't forget to download the Wildcaster app, available on the App Store and Google Play. For Michael, for Ryan, I'm Justin. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great weekend.
Arizona isn't just in our name. It's our home, too. That's why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona is taking action for better health right here in Pima County. We're mobilizing resources to help make a difference in critical health issues, and we're offering new health plans for individuals and families in 2019. It all adds up to a healthier you, healthier community, a healthier Pima County. Here to protect what matters most, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona. Live fearless.